Just about time. That's a little bit fast, actually, about a minute or so.
Is Jim Walker? Or Jim Foley, has he ever been on Walker? John Foley? Oh, is that John? Oh, yeah, John.
Yeah.
Not that I know of. But he did use to come in person.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we got about ready to start. So as we begin this morning, I'd encourage you just to get grounded and centered, however you do that for yourself. And to let ourselves openly and lovingly to whatever lessons we need to learn this evening, this morning. Knowing that each one of us is probably going to learn in our own particular way. And in our sharing together, whether that's out loud or quietly, that we are contributing to the positive, healthy evolution of ourselves in this world we live in. So good morning again. Thanks for being here. I took a quick look at the beginning of today's lesson, and I think it fits in rather perfectly with the world that we're living in. So I hope it can resonate with each one of us. I'm on page 344. Oh, and in case I forget later, we are, as we finish this book, we're going to be moving on to another one of Paul Selig's books called The Book of Innocence. And for those of you who come here in person, for those of you coming here in person, I've got some used copies I can give around. And for those of you who, for some reason or another, might not be able to afford any, let me know and I'll make sure you get one. Having a book is not a necessity, but it's helpful. That's also a sign of our commitment to the program, if you want to look at it that way. That's my label. I shouldn't put that on you guys. Page 344. Remember that we have a choice between fear and love all the time. You are given the illusion of freedom by fear in most cases. It's a trickster. I've got some music coming in from someplace. Can you hear that?
What?
Some music coming in? Oh, is it from the, okay. I couldn't tell. When my hearing aids, I can't really tell the direction of where something's coming from. You are given the illusion of fear by of freedom by fear in most cases. It's a trickster. To be given the illusion by fear simply means that you are told you are safe. In the little book called Emmanuel, Emmanuel says, as a spiritual being, says, if fear had a voice, it would say, hold on to me and I'll keep you safe. It's a liar, but it sounds like an interesting proposition. To be given the illusion by fear simply means you are told you are safe. When you build the bigger bomb, you are told you are safe. When you follow the rules, you are told you are safe. When you agree to exile those in your population, get this one. When you agree to exile those in your population who you believe could be harmful, and notice that we said the word could, not were. Sound familiar? When someone is harmful to a populace, you will attend to them in love. Not put them on a bus and ship them someplace else. And underline the word love, because to understand somebody in love responds to them as the ones able to change. When I respond to you in love, I am responding to you as the individual, as the person who has the ability to change. If I respond to you in anything other than love, I am shutting you down from some of the possibilities of your changing and your transformation. When someone is harmful to a populace, you will attend to them in love, and underline the word love, because to understand somebody in love responds to them as the ones able to change. They may be responded to as being able to change. Your verdict that anyone cannot change is heretical, because you are God deciding for another that the act of will on your part, the act of intention on your part, is weaker than the truth of their being. The biblical parable we came up with last week was that one where Jesus described someone saying to his brother or sister, "Come here, brother or sister, let me remove that speck from your eye." And he said, "You idiot. You have a log in your own. Remove the log from your own eye so you can help your brother or sister remove the speck from theirs. But don't get fooled that you're focusing on somebody else's errors or somebody else's mistakes." Why did you say weaker? Paul is asking. I'm confused. When you claim for another, she will not change. You're honoring the lower self, and that is always the weaker and the lower way to decide. The little formula that was given to me years ago, and I'm not sure where this came from. It didn't come from a reading that I was doing. But it was a little, I guess formula would be the best word I can use. Is when I have an idea that I want to follow up on, or an action that I want to take, or I'm tempted to take, to ask myself very simply, does this open my heart or does it close my heart? If it closes my heart, I'm not saying it's bad or wrong, but that's a pretty good indication it's coming from a lower level of vibration, a lower level of consciousness. If it opens my heart, pretty good indication that we're talking about higher consciousness. Simple, but I find that tremendously direct and tremendously helpful. Does this open my heart or does it close my heart? And when we become aware of that choice, it makes a lot more sense to us. Say, oh, that's what I'm choosing. I'm choosing to open my heart or close my heart. The infinite love that, in fact, is the creator may redeem anyone and anything, but not according to your journey or your plan or your presumption of what it must look like. There is not a man or woman born who does not have a debt to pay from a prior incarnation or from the one that they inhabit now. And the Christ that you are, the divine as you, is in fact the Redeemer. The knowing that you are in consort with all that is the most powerful thing that you will ever know. Let me say that again, so it sinks into my bones. The knowing that who you are in consort with all that is the most powerful thing that you will ever know. So when you put someone away in anger and tie yourselves to them, you do not redeem them. You lock yourself right in there with them in whatever you have claimed their punishment must be. Either everybody's on the boat or nobody's on. Line from a song. You can't keep your brother in the dark and expect to see the light. If I put someone in the dark, I go in the dark with them. Again, that's not a deliberate thing that I'm thinking about, but that's what happens. It's either all or nothing. If I make a judgment, judge not so you will not be judged. If you do judge, you're going to be judged by the same method that you judge other people. And boy, are we living in a place of judgment right now. Oh, well, I am. I'm not sure about you. And I got to catch myself sometimes every 4 or 5 minutes. Every time I watch the news, every time I plug into YouTube, there's a little story that pisses me off a little bit more. That wonderful bumper sticker. If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And then I had to wonder, where's my outrage getting me? Except creating more outrage. What does it say here? When someone is harmful to a populace, you will tend to them in love. Not in judgment. I was like, oh, they need my love, so I'll love them. That's judgment. I love you. I pray that I might see the goodness and the light and the wholeness within you. So I pray that, first of all, I might be able to see that in myself. Because I know whatever darkness I see in you is something that's going on inside of me. That marvelous, wonderful metaphysical truth. If it's going on out there, if I see it going on out there, it's happening in here. And that's where my first step is going to have to be, my own healing. And I can be grateful for that, as difficult as that might be sometimes. So when you put someone away in anger, you tie yourselves to them, you tether yourselves to them. You do not redeem them. You lock yourself right in there with them in whatever you have claimed their punishment to be. Redemption is the ideal. I think if those of you who are familiar with A Course in Miracles might be able to substitute the word or the concept of atonement there. I believe atonement and redemption, in this particular context anyway, are fairly similar. Redemption is, and if you are a student of the Course and would like to do a correction on that with me, please let me know, or let us know. I'm open. Redemption is the ideal, but it has been vastly misunderstood by religion. You are redeemed by the renewing of your mind. How did Paul put it? I can't remember the first part of that quote. It'll come to me in a minute.
Be ye transformed by the renewing
exactly.
of your mind.
Thank you, Greg. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Thank you, my friend. How can I see this differently is another way of saying that. How can I see this person differently? How can I see beyond their disguise? How can I see the truth of who they really are? How can I see the truth of who I really am? You are redeemed by the renewing of your mind, yes. You're redeemed by the renewing of your heart. You're redeemed by the offering of the self to the great light of all that is. You are redeemed in your willingness to know and to serve and to be. And you are redeemed when you say, I am willing to know who I am, because that is the gateway to truth. I am willing to know who I am. That phrase I like to use every once in a while is that the good news is you're not who you think you are. I'm willing to see the truth of who I am. And I don't know how that's going to show up. I don't know how or what way I'm going to be reminded of that. Just as a, for instance, Margot and I were at the bank a couple of weeks ago trying to get some transaction made. And this woman who was waiting online with us turned around, looked at me and said, oh, I know you. You're that minister of unity. You give the best sermons I've ever heard. See, and Margot looked at me and said, see, you never know where that's going to show up. And it doesn't have to be out loud. I am willing to know who I am. Willingness. What I've discovered about willingness is sometimes I'm not quite as willing as I think I ought to be. Because willingness is sort of a real openness to spirit, to guidance, to peace, to love, to joy. So there are sometimes in my own life and my own practice when I have to step back and be willing to be willing. And there are sometimes even when I need to step back a little bit more to be willing to be willing to be willing. Are you willing to forgive yourself? That's a good one. Well, if I was really willing to forgive myself, I would have done it a long time ago. Completely or more completely. So, but I you know, I have a desire. And so I'm willing to be willing. Sometimes I'm willing to be willing to be willing. And step back as far as you, let's suppose we pick I'm not going to mention any names. We pick somebody who's in government right now. Say, I am willing to love this person. And my mind kicks in, my soul kicks in, even says, well, I'm not quite ready for that one yet. Am I willing to be willing? Well, maybe I'm not quite there yet. Am I willing to be willing to be willing? Yeah, that's it. And you stay with that until it moves you a little bit more forward and you're willing to be willing to be willing. And without judgment, just say, here's where I am, or here's where I perceive myself to be at this particular moment in time. And I am willing to allow that state of consciousness to work with me or for me to work with it. So I don't perceive myself as being willing yet, but I'm willing to be willing. I'm willing to be willing to be willing.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Can you, as a therapist, can you look at the innocence of the person before you? Like seeing beyond what is here right now to the connection of all that was. That just ran through my mind.
No, that's great, Laura. The question was, or the statement was, let's say working as a therapist or as a teacher or whatever role you happen to find yourself in. Can I see the innocence? Can I see beyond the mask? Can I see beyond the disguise? Can I see the innocence that has always been there? That has never been touched by all the crap of the world. That has never been touched by all of the judgment. That has never been touched by all of the fear. The essential innocence of this individual, of this person, is still there. So what happens for me anyway when I am in that conscious state of, my prayer many, many times, very often is, Lord, that I may see. May I see the innocence in this one that I know that is true. that I can't see yet? Can I see the innocence in myself that I'm finding a difficult time in seeing right now in this moment? And I am willing to be open to that seeing, that vision, that awareness. But that's a great way of phrasing that too, because I think that ties in a lot with the course too as well. Can I see the innocence that exists here and has never been touched? The innocence has never been taken away. So can I see beyond the disguise? Can I see beyond the mask this person might be wearing to the innocence that always has been and still is? And then can I do that with myself? And am I willing to do that with myself? Am I willing to drop the self-punishment? Am I willing to drop the judgment? Am I willing to drop the fear towards myself and be open to seeing, resonating with, vibrating with the innocence that always has been there? It's easy to hold a little baby and look in their eyes and see the innocence. That doesn't take any work at all. It's just there. What takes the work is when we find an adult human being who maybe we object to in maybe many, many different ways. Can I see the innocence that still exists there, still exists, and has never been touched because it can't be touched, or it can't be changed, or it can't be taken away?
Gary?
Yeah.
So I read an op-ed this morning where the author was expressing that in the beginning of the United States, the politicians worked together. They respected each other. They disagreed on very many things, but they tried to create a way in which they could collaborate, where there could be win-win, and that no one was going to get everything, but that everyone would get something. They would come up with a new solution that would work for both parties or all parties. And then he talked about what's going on in government today, where it's winner takes all. So I think that part of it becomes, can we see others who we disagree with through love, but look to try to understand what they want to accomplish, and then try to create a shared vision of how to accomplish that? Thanks.
Thank you, John. I agree with everything you said, and yet I almost feel this resistance of wrapping myself around it, because I don't want to let those SOBs win. And see, that's not, it's not about winning and losing.
And that was
Jerry.
Part of his message this morning. Hang on one second. That was part of his message this morning, is that the left, those of us who have a very different opinion, we're very attached to our opinions, to our ideas. And so we have to be willing to negotiate and to find a new solution that's going to work for everyone. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I got to let go of my desire to be right. Because if I'm right, then you're wrong. Somebody else, was that Paula wanted to say something?
Yeah, I had a little bit of clarification there, so I don't know, but it feels so enormous, because at the head of what's happening now, it feels that area of being able to listen to other views is coming from, there's someone stands at the head that is so dictatorial, and everyone is so gripped in fear that they're not, the ones that are going along with this person aren't even able to stand up for something that, you know, they feel different because you've heard it before from them. So I'm back to that, how that fear that was mentioned in the beginning. We are a planet gripped in fear. And wow, it feels very big.
Let's step back for a minute. A missing piece, what I've discovered for myself anyway, a missing piece of my prayer for world peace or peace in our country is that I have to be open in a way that my mind cannot completely explain. I have to be open to the possibility that that peacefulness, that agreement, that understanding that John was talking about, that it's possible for that, doesn't, might not exist in the material world right now in this moment, but that it is possible to exist. Because it, and so that is part of where my energy goes a lot of times. Not only in Lord that I may I see the truth of the innocence in other people that I want to see or desire to see, but also I am open to the possibility that peace can be created in this country or in this world, even though it doesn't seem that way, even though it doesn't look that way. Because unless I am open to the possibility, the prayer is rather meaningless. It's just a desire. It's a nice desire. It's a wonderful desire, maybe a very powerful desire. But if it's not connected with the possibility that that can and will happen, it doesn't go anyplace. It's like it's a prayer that bounces off the ceiling. So much of this comes down to my work with me, my work with divine consciousness, my work with who I think I am, my work in forgiveness, my work in unconditional love, my work in seeing you beyond your disguise, seeing you beyond the mask you might be wearing. That's my work. That's my job. And from that flows the peacefulness that's the desire of my heart. But it doesn't just happen because I want it to happen. It happens because I am open to the possibility that it can and will happen. And then I work with somebody like John is talking about and say, what do I want? What does the other person want or the other party want? And how can we get there? As somebody once said, a compromise is the result of an action that nobody's completely satisfied with, but works anyway.
Jerry, one more thing. So I think probably, and this just occurred to me, about 2 weeks ago, I watched the musical 1776. And if you've never watched that, it's worth seeing, even if you don't like the music, because what you see is the representatives at the Continental Congress trying to come to some agreement, which they did eventually and created the United States. But the disagreements at the beginning of the show are very extreme. And they all had to compromise in some way in order to create the Declaration of Independence and go their way as a new country. So you may want to watch that at some point. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Down at the bottom of page 345. The gateway to truth, in fact, is all that is needed for you to go on the journey. You are up the mountain now, yes, not the peak. And you justify yourselves still by looking at your creations, those things you have made and agreed to, and say, so what? I will never change. Now, I'd kind of doubt you probably wouldn't be here on Sunday mornings if that was your total philosophy, I'm never going to change. Because you know what's going to happen here on Sunday morning or Tuesday night. I know what's going to happen for me is I'm going to get stretched. I'm going to have to look at my stuff and see what it is in me that needs to be healed. At a certain level, there is an aspect of you that will never change, and that is the divine as you. That's a wonderful way of twisting that around. Let me do that again. At a certain level, there is an aspect of you that will never change, and that is the divine as you. Everything else is a pelt, an aspect of the material world that you are wearing or in consort with. We don't have to validate this. This is you when you look in the mirror and see the finite self, the wrinkles on the skin, the sadness in the eyes, the bewildered look, what have I become? I know that's especially true for me. When I notice, you know, my body can't do the things it used to do 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. What happened? Remember a while ago, I was playing around with my iPad and actually pressed the camera button. I looked at the screen, and here's this little old man looking back at me. So, well, how'd that happen? Who is that? Do I really look that way? What have I become? And of course, what I'm saying is, what has become with my body? What has become with my relationship with my physical being? And it's just doing what it does. It's like a car that's getting worn out. It's nothing bad. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, can you imagine having a car that's 80 years old? I think my body's doing pretty good from that, right? What have I become? When you move beyond the shell to what lies beneath it, there is infinite love and infinite power, and we will say this. This power is stronger than any fear you could encounter. This power is stronger than any fear you could encounter. So not only is it a choice between love and fear, it is realizing that even if I make the choice of fear, I'm making a choice not just out of my lower consciousness, but I'm making a choice with something that doesn't truly exist. Fear only exists on the lower planes of consciousness. And even there, it's still an illusion because it's not the truth. I'm saying that out loud so I can hear it, okay? If it fits you, that's fine, but I know it fits me. When you bypass fear, when you climb the mountain to the heights, you are going to be encountered by fear's creations. It's very easy for you to say, I went on that wonderful trip and I bypassed that country where they are always fighting. In fact, you don't bypass that country. You see that country as an aspect of you, and you understand that your participation to the violence there is the violence within yourself. And as you understand that, you release the need for it because it doesn't serve you. It is seductive, you see, when you see a fine brawl and want to enter into the glory of the action, but the truth of who you are knows far better. If I see it out there, it's happening in here. Now, there might be some things I can do to contribute to the peacefulness of the world outside of me, but I need to remember that the real action takes place inside here. I continue to be reminded of that one. I'm going to do one more paragraph, and then I'm going to do our meditation because I'm going to have to leave a little bit early this morning. Now, if you are encountering something in your physical life, it is there for you to see and respond to the degree that you are able to, through your higher knowing. So you might need to see a doctor. You might need to exercise more. You might need to drink some more water. Not through the old actions that have been justified by culture, but through the choice to be, to be, to be. You cannot damn a thing from any place else but being. And how you be is how you know who and what you are. Who am I in this moment? Remember, Ram Dass turned that around one time where he said, he was giving a talk. He started off by saying, the only thing I can give you is who I am in this moment. That's it. The only thing I can give you is who I am in this moment. The only thing we can give one another is who I am in this moment. And sometimes that's dependent upon my perception of who I am. But that's not the truth. Who I am and my perception of who I am are two different things. So I want to see myself beyond my perceptions. I want to see myself beyond my judgments. I want to see myself beyond my fears. So I can see you beyond your fears. So I can see you beyond my judgment of you. So I can see you as the truth and the innocence of who you are. So I'm going to suggest put your stuff down. And even though I used words this morning, my sense is that the essence of this lesson is beyond words. Primarily, it comes down in my own understanding, my own reflection on two things. As we mentioned, if I see it going on out there, it's going on in here. And that's where the change needs to begin to take place. And the other one is that my perception of who I am, which is a mental thing, and partly the material world in judgment or in action, the difference between who I perceive myself to be and who I truly am. Just as a simple example of that, so often I might be reading a piece of spiritual literature and it might point out a state of mind or a state of consciousness that we are all striving towards. And so often the first thought that comes to my mind without pushing it anywhere, just right there, is saying, well, I'm not quite there yet. And I have to realize that's my perception, not the truth. Lord, that I may see. May I see the truth of who I am. May I see myself as you see me. May I see my brothers and sisters as you see them. Not in perception, but in truth. So if we were to take a moment now and allow ourselves to be open, softened, let one thing come to mind. Could be a thought, could be an idea, could it be an action that I might be contemplating, that I can begin to hold more peacefully in the light. So the judgment becomes love. And fear becomes the openness to possibility. And resistance is transformed into willingness. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. You open your eyes when you're ready. And I'm still vibrating with that statement that Laura made a while ago of, how can I see the innocence? And each one of us is probably going to have our own answer to that question. How can I see the innocence? So thank you all for being here. Good to see
thank
you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Stay warm, stay at peace, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.